Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck having another beautiful day in my consciousness. And I hope you listeners are too. And of course, I'm with my friends, my buddies, my ministers, my... Take it away, guys.
Hey, yeah, all of that and more. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton coming to you from beautiful Durham, North Carolina. And it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And hello from this end of the table. And this is the Reverend Doc Bill Holton. And it's very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well. And as you guys know, and for those of you who don't know, Cher and I are the co-founders of a wonderful Metaspiritual Ministry, and our name is the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening.
And if that's too hard to find, you can find us at gcsacommunity.org.
And what's funny about that, I've already gotten used to that one because I looked up something on your website this week, and I'm remembering that one now. See, so hooray! And of course, I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can read my absolute word, as well as my calendar, which says what events I'm involved in the coming months. We are MR2. We are around the virtual kitchen table. And of course, we are all about spirituality, pseudo-spirituality, science, and pseudoscience. And this is part two of The Wonder of Awe. And it's based on an article by Dasher Keltner, and it's based on his book, Awe, the New Science of Everyday Wonder and How It Can Transform Your Life. And you know, I kind of like the word wonder, because when we say awe, people might think we're saying the other awe, like awe.
Tone of voice, so important.
Yep. So awe occurs when we experience the vast and the mysterious. And boy, haven't I experienced that. Have you guys recently experienced that anywhere?
It's amazing. We just went for a walk yesterday because it's been beautiful here. We've had 80 degree weather yesterday. And so we just went for this beautiful long walk, and the dogwoods are just starting to bloom. The azaleas are just beginning to pop. Mm-hmm. It is our favorite time of year here. And talk about that moment of awe. You just take in your breath and stand and watch. It's beautiful.
It is. And then from the article, it says, while we tend to conceive of awe on a grand scale, research by Dasher Keltner suggests we can experience awe in everyday experiences. And I do, and I did last night. I sat on my balcony when it was raining. It was actually a thunderstorm, and it was thundering and lightning. And that's pretty much an everyday experience, isn't it?
It is.
And I got to admit, for me, folks, that in addition to what these two are saying on the really materialistic side of awe, which is so true, of course, one of the experiences I have is on the non-local, more mysterious side of awe. And that's where my ideas come. I'm a writer, as you know, and some of the really neat ideas that I come up with, I connect with the quantum verse on a very non-local level. They come to me, and I think it's from the morphogenic field, and I won't say much about that here, but it's a field that's out there for all of us to connect with. It's an informational field that's been there for some time. And that's, for me, is awful.
Oh, I was wondering when you were going to do that.
And sometimes Billisms are awful and awful.
And sometimes you have to spell them for people to understand.
I was going to say, all of that, what he was saying is to kind of define how his brain works, which is sometimes very different from what most people think.
And I'm sure we didn't need to know that, but because we already know it works in mysterious ways.
Well, I came by it honestly because I tell people that a lot of times that I was born ready. I was born 2 weeks premature, so I can honestly say I was born ready.
And you were in a hurry, weren't you?
Exactly.
He wanted to get started on this new experience. I think he just wanted to get a head start on finding
And
me.
finding you, yes.
Aw, see?
Aw.
That's the other one. Aw.
Oh, mercy.
Well, so why don't you share read these eight wonders, and then we'll come back and eat and look at each of them.
Okay, so Keltner calls these experiences the eight wonders of life that can promote a sense of well-being and connection with humanity. So here's the list, and then we'll talk about them. Moral beauty, nature, collective effervescence, don't you love that phrase? Art, music, spirituality, epiphany, and then life and death. Those are the eight wonders of life. So, wow, we could go a lot
Yes,
of different
that's
ways
a
on this. Do we want to take them in order and just sort of riff on each one a little bit? And we invite our listeners to do the same as we start talking about it. Just go within your own awareness and see where you have experienced wonder and awe in these particular areas.
So the first one is the one I had to think into, moral beauty, and then in the last week or so, I think it's been on CBS often, and an end segment in the news is something about a moral beauty. That's someone who's doing something for someone else that is selfless. I can't think of one right now. Can you guys?
Yeah, for me, as I look at moral beauty, I like to combine concepts, and a picture in my mind appears when to champion ethical and moral reciprocity is beautiful.
Yes, yes. And as you were sharing that, I'm remembering one of the segments. I wish I could remember the reporter's name, but he's famous for these. He found a woman who, when she was retired, she didn't know what to do with herself. And so she began looking on websites where people who are looking for help, and she found a lady who needed rides to go to her chemotherapy appointments and then the follow-up appointments. And they said how many appointments it included, and it was a lot. And she also connected with a blind man who was looking for help, and she became his personal transportation. That
Wow.
is moral beauty.
Most definitely. Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. That's an interesting term, too. I'd never heard it before reading it here, moral beauty, but it does fill you with awe when you, and when you hear the stories. I know CNN always does a segment on good stuff, and it's that same thing. You just get that, you get joy, a feeling of joy and awe, as he would describe it, just hearing the story, which I think helps us then want to go and do pass it forward.
Yeah, I would call it the warm fuzzies. Sometimes I get goosebumps, and sometimes I shed a tear in
Yes.
happiness that someone is doing something like that.
Yes, and we need more stories like that.
We do. And the second one is nature, which Cher, you just shared about that. And I took a trip last summer, and I went to several. I've even lost count. Several of our national parks. One of them was Zion for sure, and the other one was Bryce Canyon. There's nothing else, no other word other than wonder describes it.
I get it. You know, I remember when we went to the Grand Canyon, my dad had told us, if you can, before you even go into the park, take the helicopter ride in. And we did that. Our first view was from a helicopter over the canyon. And I mean, we wept. It was so beautiful.
Wow.
It was incredible.
And that's the word we use, Paul, was wow, which is the same thing as Awesome.
Yeah, it was
Wow.
just awe. It was just
Well,
amazing.
in fact, my friend Ted was with me, and we started to have a joke because there were things that I would just naturally go, wow. And then there was, wow.
You know, I remember when we took a family trip to Canada, and our family and my parents and my brother, we all got together, we met, and then we took a van from Jasper. Wait a minute, where did we fly into? Wherever we flew into, all the way up through Banff to Jasper. So it was that whole Calgary. We flew into Calgary. Yeah. So we drove it. The first day, we drove 13 miles. That was it. Every turn we stopped, got out, took pictures. I mean, the scenery was so incredible that we all just said, you know, we're going to have to do better than this if we want to get up to where we're headed. But every turn was just amazing. So it's that same, isn't it amazing how nature just connects?
And then the third one is collective effervescence.
Yeah.
So I'm drawing a blank. What is that one,
It's that
collective?
joy. It's like effervescence would be like the bubbles in champagne. Only
Oh,
it's
okay.
emotional. It's the energy of excitement, and it's, I guess, collective effervescence would be bringing everybody together for that joyful experience. But
Yes.
well, it's in addition to what Sarah was describing about the bubbles and foam and froth. It's high spirits, exuberance, vitality, liveliness, animation, all of those.
yeah, well, I've experienced that. I know you have experienced that. The example I'm remembering now is the first time I was in Venice, Italy. And the group I was with, we got into one of those, they're called Vaporetti, which is nothing more than a motorboat. And as we started to go from the train station to a hotel, and I was weeping, and my friends were weeping, and it was a collective effervescence, yes, but a unity in that experience we were having.
Yes. I think you get it. Anything when there's a group of people and you're experiencing something amazing, like somebody singing the national anthem in such a powerful way at a game, when they do a really like over the top, not over the top version, because I like it to be I don't want to hear it any other way than it should be. But the way they sing it, it just makes everybody,
Yep.
it connects the whole group. Even though we don't know anybody, we all suddenly feel connected.
That is the best example we use, Cher. So thank you for that.
You know, retreats are the same way when you think about it. And
Yes.
the shameless plug, of course, because we have our around the kitchen table retreats that we do, spiritual retreats. But our people who come to that, the way they describe the experience, kind of fits in that collective effervescent category. Would you agree?
I would, for sure.
So now that you brought it up, do you have the dates handy?
I do. As a matter of fact, it's October 25th through the 27th. And you
Yeah.
can go to gcsacommunity.org and look under our calendar of events, and you'll find everything you need. In fact, right on the main page, on the front home page, there's a link to look at information about the retreat. Shameless, but it's so
Well,
exciting. We want you there. So there's plenty of time whenever you listen to this. If you do it before October, you're set. You can come.
Yeah, not be October 2024.
2024, yes, in case you're listening to this in the future, which we
Yeah,
hope you do.
and we surprised ourselves this morning because we talked about it, and it's already half full.
Yeah.
As
So
we speak,
seats are going to be limited because our space is limited, and we want to make sure it's a good experience for everyone. So get yourself signed up. Don't be disappointed.
And before we leave the collective effervescence, I want to give one more example. For those of you who probably had this experience, when I look at the rainbow and then realize there is a second rainbow.
Oh, that's collective
And that's collective
effervescence.
effervescence for sure.
Yeah, and sometimes you do have to look for it, and sometimes it's so obvious. We talk about rainbow, but it's really rainbows, isn't it?
Yeah, that is, that's true. And again, have you ever been somewhere where somebody's looking up? And what does everybody else start doing? I mean, everybody looks up, and hopefully they're not playing a trick on you. Hopefully there's something there that all of a sudden we're all connected in this experience.
And speaking of looking up, when this thing, when our session is published, comes out, next week there'll be a looking up too as well.
Oh, that's right. With the proper glasses.
With the proper glasses I wear.
That'll be actually when you're listening to this, if you're listening to it as it's posted, it may have already happened. So
yeah, the total
eclipse. Gotta wait another 20 years.
The total eclipse of the sun. Yes, indeed.
And people are connected by that when you think about it. Even if you don't actually go, a lot of people watch coverage of it. So they can, and you really do get some experience of it just from the coverage.
And it's, if you've experienced one, it makes a connection to me, to my forebears when they didn't know what was happening, and it would go like to darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And no wonder people worshiped nature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right. And assumed something was wrong, right? Like we made nature mad. Yep.
Yep.
Wow.
I think we can get one more in here, and that's art. And that's an easy one for me because I live within eyesight of the best art museum in Kansas City. It's called the Nelson Atkins Museum. And I'm there maybe once a month on average. And, wow. And sometimes it's a new exhibit. Sometimes I'll just stroll through a few galleries. And there's always one picture or piece of sculpture that I guess I have an individual effervescence.
Yeah, I hear you. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that we're doing those two together because we just talked about collective effervescence. And I think you're right, Paul. I think art is so individual. It's such an individual taste, and everybody has a different reaction to artwork.
Yep.
Yeah. And I could also say we've just introduced you folks to two art forms. One, moral beauty, and the other, collective effervescence, are art firms of putting words together.
Yes.
They really spectacularly show us different meanings of those words.
And in fact, this little condo I have is like my own little museum. I have a TV. It's called The Frame, and it's by Samsung. And I always have a beautiful piece of art hanging on my wall. And when I'm done with a particular one, I can find another one and put it up there. And I enjoy art in the space I live.
Wow. Oh, that is really cool. Wow. And I don't even think we're through with art yet, but we are to a point where we need to come back to it next time.
Okay, so let's get on with it then. We're moving to the Absolute Word, which is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. And this is from March 3rd. The word is grace, and the affirmation is, I freely give grace. I freely give grace. I find grace in the rhythm and balance of the natural world. It is the beauty of a sunrise and a sweet, gentle rain. I find grace in those with whom I share this beautiful planet, the faces of my dear ones and others I meet throughout the day. Grace is an important way I express my inherent divinity. I am aware of the ways grace is a blessing in my life. I find it in unexpected kindness, serendipity, and forgiven error. All the ways I know I am loved, treasured, and secure. As I respond to opportunities to share my grace, I am letting others know they matter to me. From the moment I greet today to the moment I rest at night, I am grateful for opportunities to share my inherent divinity through giving grace. I freely give grace. And Bill and Cher, I bet our listeners noticed a connection between what we talked about and this absolute word. And I just chose one and I didn't read it. And it, I always find that to be a wondrous thing, right?
Right.
Oh, yes.
That's awe in itself.
That's right. Okay. So this is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck saying goodbye for now. Thank you for listening.
This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton saying thank you. We love having you listen.
And the three of us invite you to always freely give the awesome beauty of grace.